I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true, and many believed in him there.
Thank you, Phil. Right. Thanks, John. Keep that passage open, and there should be an outline for you to follow as well on your sheets. Can I add my welcome to John? It's great to see you. And our subject today is how the Jews received Jesus' claim to be equal with God. And if you look down at our passage, you will see that it is topped and tailed by Jesus' claim to be equal with God. Verse 30, I and the Father are one. And then verse 38, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And so his claim to be equal with God. In other words, in chapter 10, we've been in thinking about Jesus' claim to be the good shepherd, but he says here that he's not just the shepherd, the good shepherd, he is the shepherd who is fully divine, the fully divine Son of God, through whom all of this stuff was made. Who owns the universe and who owns you and me. And so it could not be more relevant for the city today, whoever we are. But the question we're thinking about, and the question that's on the table here in this part of John's, this eyewitness account, is how did the Jews receive that claim? That he is much more than just a prophet or a religious figure. You might say much more than just a Messiah. This isn't just a history lesson, because the Jews throughout the Gospel are a sample of humanity. Look at what the Jews did with Jesus, and we will see what the world does with Jesus. I don't know if you remember in chemistry lessons when you used to dip that litmus paper into the test tube, and you know, whatever colour it would go. I can't even remember what the liquid was. In fact, I don't even remember doing that. I must have done it at some point. But there's that thing that you can do with litmus. It's a litmus test, isn't it? As we read how Jesus reacts with the Jews, we see a test case of how Jesus reacts with humanity. Why? Because the Jews are human beings. They are the case study of how humanity responds to Jesus. Anyone who wants to believe in Jesus will have to at some stage come face to face with the fact that the world around does not. So you guys will know, if you're Christian here, many of your friends do not believe, our family does not, our colleagues do not, our political leaders do not, and it can be hugely destabilizing to anyone who would believe. And if you're not a Christian here today, why should I believe when so much of the world doesn't? The Christian is widely thought to be living out a myth, a fantasy. So again, your colleagues, if you've come here and you're Christian, your colleagues probably think that you've come to think about a myth, a fantasy. If you go back to the office and they ask you, what have you been doing? You've been opening one of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. I remember Richard Dawkins putting it famously in his book. It's like believing in fairies at the bottom of the garden. That's what the world thinks, isn't it? Or as Yuval Harari puts it in his book, Sapiens, to believe in Christianity is to believe in a myth that grew up to help us cooperate as we evolve. That's his that's his perspective. It is a myth. It's made up. It may be helpful, but it's not true. And many of your colleagues will think that, perhaps if you ask them, that will think that you, if you are Christian, that you believe it because it's a crutch. It helps you get through difficult times in life. And we start to think, if we do believe, or if we would believe in Jesus, if we're investigating things, we start to think, maybe they're right. Maybe the world around is right. Well, that is why this is written, so that Jesus' sheep might have a confident faith, but in the context of a world that will reject him in no uncertain terms. In other words, belief in a world of unbelief. Well, that's the issue today. Let's come to it then. How did the Jews claim receive Jesus' claim to be God? And I put there on your sheet, first point, this claim was the big problem for them. This claim was the big tipping point problem for them. Interestingly, as you read the gospel, there were other points at which they were disgruntled with Jesus. He did things on the Sabbath. He said stuff about how he had come to die, and they walked away from him. But actually, it was this thing that made him want to kill them. Kill him. His claim to be their Lord and God. And John makes that really clear to us as we read through his gospel. So look again at verse 31. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. See that word again. It's there because they've done it before. And if you flick back to chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am," claiming to be the God of the Old Testament. So verse 59, they picked up stones to stone him. And then come back again to chapter 5, where this section begins. This section 5 to 10 is topped and tailed by this issue. Chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I'm working." Verse 18, this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but because he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Do you see the point? John really wants us to see that this was the issue that made them want to kill him. And it's really interesting because as you read through this, Jesus had a lot of followers, and there are a lot of points at which actually he was welcome. So back in chapter 2, he was doing miracles in Jerusalem. It says many believed in him at that point. They loved his miracles. Chapter 6, when he fed 5,000 people, a crowd tried to kind of take him and make him king at that point. There was lots to like about Jesus. But it was always at this point. Hang on. You're claiming to be my Lord and my God. You're claiming to be the creator of the universe with authority over my life. Absolutely not. So to put it like this, they would have a Jesus who was an impressive good man, a prophet, a healer, a teacher, but they would not accept a Jesus who was God the Son, come from heaven with authority over their lives. And it wasn't just a nice disagreement. You know, I guess in some of your business meetings, you'll have a lot of times when you don't see eye to eye with someone. You have to say, look, don't quite see eye to eye with you. Shake hands after the coffee and off you go. No, if you come back to chapter 10, can you just imagine the scene for a second? Chapter 10, verse 31. These Jews have surrounded Jesus in verse 24. So they're in the temple. They've surrounded him. They've picked up rocks. And they are literally holding rocks in their hands as Jesus speaks from verse 32 onwards. Can you imagine the scene? There's so much to like about you, Jesus, said the Jews. So much to like about you. But how dare you claim to be our Lord and God? How dare you, they say to him. This was the big problem for them. And can I ask, has anything changed today? It's interesting when you read the accounts of early Christians. I've got this book called Destroyer of the Gods. I'd recommend it. You read the accounts of early Christians. It was this fact that Jesus was worshipped as God that really wound people up. So Nero in AD 64 convicted the Christians of hatred of the human race, but it was because they had this deadly and dangerous superstition that this man Jesus Christ was God, worthy of worship. Suetonius, another Roman historian, describes Christians as people given to a new and wicked superstition that Jesus was God and they were worshipping him. Pliny, a Roman governor, reports torturing a couple of Christian women to learn what they did and what they believed. And what he learned was they chanted a hymn to Christ as a god. And so they were tortured for this perverse superstition. It wasn't just the Jews who really hated this claim that Jesus is God. It was the Romans. And it wasn't just the Romans. I wonder if you ever read the Quran. I encourage you to do it. This is my copy. You weren't expecting this, were you? I'm going to read from it.